Today, our service revolves around Veterans Day. What does it mean to be a veteran? I asked Brother Larry that in his office this week. I was curious of how, and I'm sure everyone sees things a little differently, but I asked Brother Larry, I said, Larry, what does it mean to you? What's the most important thing, your takeaway of being a soldier, being a veteran? He thought about it a little bit, and he said, I guess the biggest thing for me is service, to help others that can't help themselves. So often we in this life see people in need and we think, I can't help them. There's too many and there's just me. And we're afraid to reach out to help people. Our society today has become fearful. We've become closed in where we are people that would rather stay at home and close our doors, close our curtains, and wish we lived somewhere further away that we didn't hear the fire trucks, the sirens, and we turn on the TV and we try to forget all the bad things that's going on in our world and on our own land today, all of the momentous decisions that we're making as a country. God would not have us to be so. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to open them to Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Unfortunately, since I have short notice today, this will not be on the screen. But that's okay. We are a fearful people because we don't know what to do. And yet, God tells us in His Word over and over and over, do not be afraid. Why does He tell us that? He tells us that because He wants us to be a people that exhibit confidence and courage in the face of adversity so that others would take heart that are losing their hearts. Joshua was the commander of the Israelite army as they were to cross over into the promised land. And God said, I will give you this land that I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you have to go fight for the land. You have to show up for the battles. And so God sends the armies of Israel into the promised land to take what had been promised to them. Now God promises that He would go before the armies and that He would be the one that would defeat the enemy. Before the night, before the battle, Joshua was examining his troops, and he was walking around his camp. And I'm sure he heard fear. I'm sure that he heard people saying, we've never been in battles like this. And yet I'm sure he also heard people excited, we're finally, after 40 years, really going to do it. But Joshua had a little bit of problem himself in terms of he had never led such a large army into such battles before. And it was, Joshua knew that it was for everything. So God comes to him and he says this in chapter 1, verse 9 of the book of Joshua. Have I not commanded you? Listen to God, his very first statement to Joshua right out of the box. Have I not commanded you? In other words, there should not be any wavering. There should not be any fear. There should not be any hesitation. I've given you the orders. Have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you in the past? Have I not brought you out victorious? Have I not commanded you? And then he gives him these words. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What lifting words to the heart of someone that may be wavering on, can we do this? Are these words today not just as powerful to the soldiers of Jesus Christ, where Jesus says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Wherever you go, I'll be there with you. I will fight your battles for you. But I need you to show up. And I need you to show out. Jesus was understanding of what it took in fear and to overcome fear to be victorious. At the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus agonized over the plan of God. He knew what was to come. And he agonized and he cried out to his Father, if there's another way to do the salvation of mankind that doesn't involve this cross, I'd like to try that now. And yet God was silent. And Jesus, he closed that cry to the Lord with this simple phrase, yet not my will, but yours be done. It goes back to the Lord saying, have I not commanded you? So often we take the commands of God lightly. We think that they're just something that's written in a book that we call the Bible, that preachers and teachers of the Word of God spout with regularity when you come to church. And then you go home, and they're quickly forgotten. We listen to some of them, but we justify in our lives the things that we do and the things that we don't do. Have I not commanded you, God says, be strong and courageous. Jesus knew fear in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew the anxiety that accompanies a great testing time when he would lay down his life for his friends. And who does Jesus call friend? Jesus calls friend, and he defines it himself. Those people who are of my Father, I call my friends. Those people who believe in me, I call my friends. Those people who will come to believe in me in the years to come, I call my friends. And Jesus tells his disciples at the Last Supper, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. If you've been in combat, I'm sure that you've had or have witnessed people laying down their lives for their friends. As a veteran, as a person that has served in the United States Armed Forces, you have had to make choices and decisions that you had to live with and still live with today. Hard decisions. Who lives, who dies on a battlefield? Do you protect your friends with your life, or do you let them die and then you try to live with that? Hard decisions that we make in life. I can't imagine any harder decision. And I can't imagine living with those decisions through life because I haven't lived that. I haven't had to make those types of decisions. But I do know this, that my Savior made that decision for me. He made it for you if you are a Christian. He willingly laid down his life. Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. God says, have I not commanded you? During the Civil War, there was many terrible battles fought. It could be argued that the turning point of the Civil War came at the Battle of Gettysburg. And that battle raged for days. And as the battle raged, it wasn't clear whether the Union Army or the Confederate Army would hold the field and win the day when it was all said and done. It wasn't clear until the end. And when it was all said and done, the Confederate Army went back south, and the North was saved from further incursion by the Confederate Army. Abraham Lincoln, later that year, came to the battlefield that we call at Gettysburg, and he gave what we call today the Gettysburg Address. One of the things that he talks about in the Gettysburg Address is the last measure of devotion. I'd like to read that passage to you. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. These men gave their last full measure of devotion. They gave their lives for a cause that they probably disagreed among themselves. Are we fighting to free slaves? Are we fighting to maintain the integrity of the United States? What are we really fighting for? And yet, they obeyed their commanders, and they gave their lives in service for their country, both sides. Lincoln wasn't necessarily talking about asking men to give up their lives, but he's asking them, look at what has been given, the blood that has been shed so far. Will you not also give your measure of devotion to the cause? God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Are you afraid today? Are you dismayed by the wanderings of your mind? Is our country going to be okay? Is my family going to be okay? What do I really believe? What do I need to put my foot down on that I believe this strongly and other things I compromise? Are you dismayed in this world you live in? Jesus asks us a simple question, and it's a question that was repeated to Joshua. Who will you serve? Who will you serve? Our God says, have I not commanded you? And yet we waver. And yet we say, Lord, I know you've given me gifts, but I don't want to do those things because that takes up too much of my time. Lord, I know that you've called me to service, but that's inconvenient for me. Lord, I know that Jesus died on a cross and shed his blood so that me believing and putting my faith and trust in him, that I should not perish but everlasting life. I believe that. I thank you, Lord. But I have other things to do in my life. My fellow man, my neighbors, my church, people that I care about. Lord, they're just going to have to fend for themselves because I can't do it all. Jesus never asked you to do it all. Jesus gave all on the cross for you. What he asks is when you have opportunity, when you feel the Holy Spirit rise up in you and you know that it is God speaking to you and speaking to your heart at any given time, to simply obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your life. We struggle mightily with that because we want to have it our way. And we will justify our way and we will argue the Word of God directly to God's face. And we say, oh, I would never do that. And yet we always do that. Because any time that God commands and we hesitate, we prevaricate, we put off doing the things that God says to do today, we tell God, my ways are better than your ways, and my time is better than your time. Paul, writing to his son Timothy, he tells Timothy that things are going to be bad. Timothy's a pastor at the church at Ephesus. And Paul says, things are going to get tough, Timothy. Things are tough, Timothy. You're going to have people that look you straight in the eye and tell you, yes, I'll do that, and will not do what they say they're going to do. Timothy, you're going to have people that will smile and say, oh, Timothy, I love your preaching, and yet they're going to leave the church, and they're going to talk against you. Timothy, you're going to suffer as a servant of Jesus Christ. But he says this. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Take your part in suffering as a loyal soldier of Christ Jesus. Take your part in suffering as a loyal soldier of Christ Jesus. Lord, I don't want to suffer. I want to be fat, dumb, and happy. I don't want to have any bad times in my life. I've had too many bad times in my life already. I just want it to end. My friends, you live in a fallen world amongst fallen people. It's not going to end while you're here. But you can have peace. You can have strength. You can have power. You can have knowledge. You can have wisdom. You can have rest. Because Jesus says, come to me, you who are heavy laden. Give me your burdens and I will give you my rest. How do you do that? You stay in Christ. How do you do that? You don't get away from him. You say, yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take your part in suffering as a loyal soldier of Christ Jesus. Lord, I don't understand. You don't have to understand, Randy. You're not the commander. I am. Have I not commanded you? It's not for you to know, but it is for you to obey. Trust me. I have a plan. But what, Lord, about the devil? He's always around, and he's always causing me trouble. And what about all of his demons? There's millions and millions of those people around, and what about them? They're causing me nothing but trouble, Father. God says, yes, I know that. Paul knew it too. Ephesians 6:11, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Put on the armor that I have provided you, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Take the gospel message into the world. Be light in the darkness. But Lord, that's Brother Larry's job. That's why we pay him the big bucks. It's good to see you, brother. No, Randy, that's your job. Have I not commanded you? Listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your heart today, folks. Have I not commanded you? The devil will come against you, to be sure. And he's not going to leave you alone. He may leave for a time, just as he came to Jesus and he tempted him in the desert. But when he left, you know what the Bible says? And the devil left him for a time. That means he's coming back. He did come back over and over and over again. If our Lord Jesus is beset by devils and demons on every side, what makes you think that you're not going to be? But Lord, I just want to be fat, dumb, and happy. And you? Well, Randy, you might get fat. And you are dumb, and you'll have some happiness, but that's not life. That's not truly who I've made you to be. That is not what saves people on this earth. What saves people from sin and death and hell is a living knowledge, a breathing knowledge, a living being saying, this is what I believe. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has saved me from sin. He has saved me from death. He has saved me from hell. He saved me from myself. I still sin. I hate sin. I didn't hate it before, though. And I know I'm different because now I'm hating sin. But yet I still struggle with it. Peter had something to say concerning the devil and what we're talking about today. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, he says, be alert and of sober mind. You ever feel like when you go through your day after day after day routine that you're kind of dull? Peter, through the prompting of the Holy Spirit, is saying, be alert and be of sober mind. What does it mean, not be drunk? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about be in a right mind with the way things are, the reality of life. Don't be stupid. Don't think that everything is going to be great all the time because you're deceiving yourself. Be alert and of a sober mind. Your enemy, you hear that word? Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Christians, have you ever felt like your hind haunches were being gnawed on? I feel that. You know, a lot of times, I'll just share this with you. We as Christians, we think that the devil and his demons, they are somewhere else. Yeah, they might have an overall arching influence, but they're not on me. Let me clarify something for you. They are on you. They're on to you. And they desire to disrupt your life in such a way that the light of Christ that you have as a Christian will be so dim that people will not recognize you as a Christian any longer. All they'll see is you're just another person just like I am, lost in the dark. You know what I'm talking about, Christian? The enemies of Christ are your enemies. Make no mistake of that. And they will come and they will attack you. They will attack you bodily. They will attack you mentally. They will attack your spirit. They will make you feel as if you are in a battle every day and you don't know why. All you know is that I can't take it anymore. Jesus says, come to me. We all need Christ daily. If you think that you can go through a single day and not get a good drink of water, you're going to be thirsty at the end of the day, my friends. And if you think that you can go a single day without talking with Jesus Christ or to Jesus Christ, you're going to be spiritually thirsty at the end of the day. And what's going to happen at the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day? All of a sudden, you're dried out, you're desiccated, and you have no strength, you have no power, you have no will of Jesus in you. You can't even summon up the strength. And you're saying, what's the use? All I want to do is die and go to heaven. At least it'll be good there. That is not what we were created for. God says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. And do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Peter finishes up in verse 9. He says, resist him. Resist the devil. How do you resist him? Got on the full armor of God. Use, just like Jesus resisted him, use the word of God, and the devil will flee. Resist him standing firm in the faith. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. I believe that Jesus did all the miracles that the Bible says he did. I believe that Jesus came to seek and to save that was which was lost, and I was one of them. You were one of them. Maybe you're still one of them today. And yet the offer still stands from Jesus. Whoever comes to me shall in no wise be turned away. I believe that Jesus was beaten and he was scourged. And I believe that by his stripes I'm healed. Because Jesus took the sin of my sins, not his. He took my sins on that cross as they pounded the nails into his hands and into his feet. And he agonized on that cross to such a degree that we cannot imagine. And he did it because he loves you and he loves me. We trivialize that love even in church anymore. We hear it so often, God loves you, Jesus loves you, but we forget that Jesus gave the last full measure of devotion. And he did it because his God commanded him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering. So my friends, you see, what is true today was true when Jesus and his disciples walked this earth. People haven't changed. Situations haven't changed. But God gives us a choice. Who will you serve? Will you serve the Christ who loves you and who gave his last full measure of devotion for you? Took the stripes, took the beatings, took the pain? Or will you serve Satan, the world? That's what I'm saying. Who says, eat, drink, and be merry, because there's nothing else after this. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how you do it. There's no consequences. And if there is, you get a good lawyer and you're good. The consequences go away. Finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, Paul reaffirms what God told to Joshua so long ago. He says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. I want you to think about 1, 2, 3, 4, those four things. Be on the alert, because the world, it's out to get you. The devil's out to get you. Make no mistake about that. We know that we resist him, stand firm in our faith, and he will leave. He'll flee. He'll come back. You have to do it over and over and over, because we live in a world that is fallen. Stand firm in the faith. We get tired of standing firm in the faith, don't we? We get tired so often of people letting us down. I'm not talking about people here in the church. They let us down. They're not who we think they should be. They say one thing and do something else. We get tired when people lie to us. We get tired when people tell us it'll be okay, when in our heart we know all things are not okay in this world. Stand firm in your faith. Stand firm in the faith of Jesus Christ, the faith that Jesus gives you. It is difficult. It's not that we don't believe, but we want to just close the doors, barricade ourselves in our houses in front of our TVs or whatever diversions that we have, our computers, and we want to just forget that it's all going to hell outside. That's not who we are. That's not who we've been created to be. We have been created and we have been empowered by God Himself in our faith in Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. There is true power in that. We sing it, but there's power in the blood of Christ. There's power in knowing Jesus. There's power in His name. Things will change when we stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Now, ladies, this includes you. You don't have to put on a suit or nothing, but act like men. Men, be strong. Be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. What does it mean to be courageous? Doing what needs to be done even though you're afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Be strong. That's probably something that I pray for every day, is strength for the day. And I know when I pray it, what I'm talking about is, Lord, I don't know what is coming today. And it doesn't really matter because I put my hands in my, you in my, in your hands. I put myself in your hands, Lord. So no matter what comes against me, I know that you're going to win the battle. Still my mind, hold my tongue. Allow me to have wisdom before I speak. And Lord, every time that I speak, let me speak what you would say. Be strong. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's the message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that as you touch our hearts, that we would turn to you wholeheartedly. And Father, as we make decisions now, Lord, I just ask that you would help us to be strong and courageous, even when the decisions are hard, to make the right decisions and always the things that you would do, the things you would have us to do. Help us to hear and help us to obey because you have commanded us. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.